Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, State of the New York Knicks podcast, episode 129. I got my guy, Scout, with Brian in the building. And we basically talk about RJ Barrett and how he's doing in his sophomore season. Shout out to Thibodeau, man. He got these boys playing well. We currently number one in the NBA in defense, and our defense is giving up 102 points per game. We're basically giving up the least amount of field goals made per game, which is 37 total. That is impressive. The least field goal percentage at 43%. That is impressive. The least amount of the lowest 3-point percentage at 31%. That is impressive. We are 28th in steals. That needs to get higher. And no, we are 26 in steals. That needs to get higher. And we are second in blocks. So, shout outs to the Knicks, man. Shout outs to Tom Thibodeau. But, you know, the Knicks have one winning streak of three games or longer in 2018. The Knicks have one winning streak of three games or longer in 2019. The Knicks have one winning streak of three games or longer in 2020. The Knicks have already had two separate three-game winning streaks this month. So, very impressed by what these boys is doing. And shout outs to RJ. He's already, according to 2019 draftees, RJ Barrett currently ranks second in career points, only behind Ja Morant, third in career rebounds, third in career assists, and fourth in career steals. RJ Barrett is also has more defensive win shares than Kawhi and is tied with Giannis. So once again, man, our boys growing up before our very eyes. Number three overall pick. Number three overall picks has been doing very well lately. Tatum, you know, Brown. So it's been doing very well. Joel Embiid. So, you know, let's see what RJ could do. But let's get right into it, man. Episode 129 with Scout with Brian. Salute the Knick Nation. Salute to everybody, man. Appreciate the love. Tune in. What's up, everybody? It's your boy, State of the New York Knicks podcast, episode 129. First time guest in the building. I got my guy, Scout with Brian, in the building. How you doing on this lovely Saturday afternoon, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. And I appreciate that you come on the show. To Knick Nation, I came across this man's show about a month ago because I was searching for new Knick content, and I seen that you had a video from last year. I seen that you was also on Nothing But Knicks, and I seen that you had a recent video about the Knicks. So I was very impressed with your work, and I just wanted to say that. And thank you for being on the show, man.
Appreciate it. No, thank you very much for having me.
All right, so this show, specifically, I wanted to talk to you about RJ Barrett. I seen your video, and I was intrigued about your work. So my first question was, you know, what made you start your scouting career? You know, what impressed you with the Knicks so far, and how often do you watch the team as far as other teams is concerned?
Yeah, so, you know, I worked in the NBA for seven seasons. I traveled with the Washington Wizards for 4 years as their head video coordinator. So, been in high-level basketball about 10 years now. So, it's been a long journey. But, yeah, I've watched the Knicks definitely at least, you know, four or five times, probably in this season, a couple other bits and pieces of games. But yeah, I mean, they've really, you know, impressed me. I think Tibbs is clearly building an identity for them, and that identity is, you know, a typical Tibbs team that plays defense and really hangs their hat on that end. And you know, I think RJ has definitely made strides. I think, you know, he's still got a long way to go, especially offensively, but I think Tibbs has really got him locked in on the defensive end, you know, like most of the team, and it's paying off for the most part in terms of being obviously a much more competitive team than they were last year.
So what made you start scouting? Like who inspired you to do that? Like where did you get your love for that?
I've always been just a huge, you know, sport. As a high school, I actually wanted to work in baseball. You know, I was part of that, like, Moneyball, all the kids wanting to work in a baseball front office because of Moneyball. But once I got to college, I kind of just realized that basketball was my real love, and ended up, you know, working for the Hall of Famer Gary Williams at the University of Maryland.
Nice.
My first couple of years of college, and then interned for the Wizards my last couple of years of school. And yeah, pretty much like I said, ever since I started college, I've just been obsessing over everything basketball, every term, every X's and O, every little nuance of the game. And been thankful to get to learn a lot about it, working for, you know, three different head coaches in D.C. and being around Paul Pierce and John Wall and Bradley Beal, guys like that. So,
oh, that's good, man. That's good. All right. So I wanted the people to, you know, get to know you real quick. But let's get into the meat and potatoes, because, you know, R.J. Barrett, you know, this guy, before these last six games, he was 38% from the field, 18% from three. But since his last six games, he's averaging 22 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, with 4 assists per game, 51% from the field, 45% from three, and 88% from the free throw line. And I wanted to know from you, and from watching your video, and I watched how you talked about the defense, and I watched you talk about the offense, what are you seeing from R.J. Barrett personally that impresses you the most? And what sets are you seeing the Knicks run? Because I've seen the last 2 to 3 games that Tibbs started incorporating pistol sets, and he's been running horn sets since the beginning of the season because he runs the triangle offense a lot. So what have you been seeing from RJ in this offense this year in particular? And are you seeing any sets? Like, what, explain to the people what you've been seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, I've seen definitely some of the pistol stuff has been going on all year, you know, different reads out of it where sometimes they throw it ahead to him and he gets to, you know, fake the handoff back to the point guard and come off a side pick and roll himself. And, you know, you see that he's got a good feel for the game. Tibbs is even running, it's funny, some old like Luol Deng sets that he used to run for him, and Jimmy Butler, even some of that he's put in for RJ. There's a set called X where you'll kind of see him and the point guard kind of brush off each other, and sometimes they bring RJ to the post off of that. But yeah, they've got a few wrinkles for him. And overall, I think, like I said, I've been impressed that he's really grown on the defensive end. I think he's a really high motor player for the most part on that end, and obviously, you know, Tibbs is building really good habits for him on that end. And if you don't do that every time, you're not going to play for Tibbs. Offensively, I think he's more of a mixed bag. I mean, I know you mentioned watching him a few of my videos. I don't know if you saw the one I did on him just coming out of college, my draft scout on RJ Barrett. But to me, he's just not a guy that's a natural shooter and that's ever going to be, you know, an incredible 25, 30 point a game NBA score. But I think he can definitely get to around that 20 a game mark and be there consistently, you know, if only because of his athleticism, getting points from his defense, getting points in transition. And, I think he reads the floor very well. I think he makes good decisions as kind of a two guard that gets to play out of pick and rolls and stuff sometimes. And, I think he's probably a third or fourth best offensive player on a good team. So, you know, not a superstar in my book, but I think he's capable of definitely being a solid starter like he's been, and being a good long-term piece for you guys for sure.
So it's funny that you mentioned his defense, because RJ has more defensive win shares than Kawhi, and he's tied with Giannis, and I believe he's 6th in the NBA in defensive win shares. And what I've been seeing from him this season under Tibbs' defensive strategies is, you know, Tibbs likes to run the ice defense. You know, he iced the pick and rolls with Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson drops back a lot. And I'm very impressed with what I'm seeing from RJ Barrett. Can you tell the people any particular defensive sets that you're seeing? Because I know that the first part of your video, you was mainly talking about the defense. So I want you to tell the people what you're saying from RJ on the defensive side and the team as a whole, as far as the defense is concerned, which is number one in the NBA right now, currently.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, they'll ice some side pick and rolls with the five, and then they have Robinson and Noel back in a drop, pretty far back. But they also sometimes have them, a little bit more aggressive than I think a lot of the teams in the league have been playing. You know, you watch like DeAndre Jordan in Brooklyn. I mean, every pick and roll that's set, he's back underneath the rim the entire time. Like he's 20 feet away. And, you know, guys, they let like Chris Middleton come off and hit wide open mid-range jumpers, and Sexton obviously shredded them. And, the Knicks, I respect that they're not just giving up that shot. Like they have, like I said, they have Noel come up a little bit higher. They have Mitchell come up a little bit higher, almost at the level of the screen. Mm-hmm. And that takes away those pull-up jump shots that, obviously a lot of players in the league can hit. You know, from RJ in particular, I think it's just the little things. It's the technique. It's just getting up into the ball handler before the screen. It's just always being in a stance. It's constant ball pressure. I mean, it's, defense is a million different little things. There's not like one magic trick or specialty to it, but it's mostly just playing hard every second you're on the floor and not having an off switch. And I think Tibbs has definitely instilled that mindset more. And, they're obviously doing a really good mm-hmm. job of it.
Yeah, because RJ Barrett in December, his defensive rating was 106.1. In January, his defensive rating is 102.7. So he's getting better as the season progressed. So I'm very impressed about what RJ Barrett's doing on the defensive side of the ball. But I like how you mentioned RJ Barrett's position on the court, because that was my third question. And that's a good segue, because when I watch RJ Barrett, I get into a lot of arguments with people about his position on the court. And I just want to know from your perspective, from watching him since college, what do you think his natural position is? Do you think he's a small forward? Do you think he's a shooting guard? And also, what spots do you think on the floor he's best capable? The spots on the floor where he can be his best at. Because I'm looking at his shots, right? I'm looking at his shot chart. Mm-hmm. And less than 5 feet, he's 52%. 5 to 9 feet, he's 32%. 10 to 14 feet, he's 41%. 15 to 19 feet, he's 41% as well. But 20 to 24 feet, he's 26%. So I just want to know, what position you think RJ is best at, because we know he likes to bully ball, he likes to drive to the basket. And I want to know what type of shots you think he should be taking more. And also, what is his ceiling? I know you just mentioned about him not being a superstar, but what do you think he's ultimately best at when he reaches his peak?
I think, first of all, I think today's NBA, there's obviously a ton of overlap between the two and three position. I think they're pretty interchangeable for the most part. And that's what I think is good about him too, is he can obviously play both, a little bit even more than, like, let's say a guy like Bradley Beal, who I mentioned in DC. I mean, obviously he's a offensive superstar at the two, but, he is a little bit mm-hmm. shorter, obviously. He's not really able to guard some of the bigger threes. I like that RJ has the flexibility definitely to guard the three, but offensively, I think he's probably best at that too. You mentioned him posting up at times and trying to play bully ball. I think obviously having him at the two lets him do that a little bit more than the three, because he's going against slightly smaller defenders. Mm-hmm. It's funny, when I mentioned his draft scout, I remember Knicks fans were furious at me when I compared him to a guy like you know, Joe Ingles, and I understand, you know. Yeah, I mean, RJ's out.
What? You could hear me out. Joe Ingles, so, bro? Listen,
obviously, RJ's a lot more athletic. He's a lot stronger. He's a better defender, all those things. But, you know, but Joe Ingles is a guy who for Utah, you know, handles in a lot of pick and rolls. He reads the floor really well. He's a good passer. Great passer, actually. And, you know, he's become a tremendous NBA shooter. And you know, I think, obviously, RJ has more potential than that because, like I said, he can score in transition. He can score from his defense, all those things. But, you know, I think, like Joe, he's kind of a guy that plays with a good pace offensively, that just kind of manipulates the defense, reads the floor. So, yeah, you know, I think they need to just keep putting him in some high pick and rolls, putting him in some pistol sets, like we said, you know, finding a way to work him down to the post a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think he's, you know, he's a unique player. I don't think there is anybody really that stands out like as a perfect comparison to him because, you know, like I said, I don't think he has that Beal type scoring shooting ability, you know, but I think he, you know, like tip guys in the past, to be honest, like the Dangs and such of the world. I think he's gonna make his money mostly as a defender and guy that just plays really hard every night. And you know, if he really buys into that and trusts that, you know, the offense will come, he'll be able to get some of those scrap points you get from just being active, just playing with high energy. That, you know, he'll still obviously be a really effective player. So.
Yes. And trust me, you saying Joe Ingles, I'm not even mad at you. I've heard millions of comparisons of RJ because he's just such a tough player to, like, from the eye test, he's such a tough player to compare to. Like, I've heard Brandon Roy. I've heard Jalen Rose. I've heard Jimmy Butler. I've heard Shabazz Muhammad. So it's tough to, like, really – compared his guy to anybody, but that's a good thing, you know. That's a good thing. You know, the fourth question on this list, you know, when we're talking about RJ Barrett, I know that you see that there's other players on the roster, right? And I would like to know from your personal opinion, what young players is best suited to fit RJ moving forward? Because I've seen a stat last night, and this stat was about the true shooting with Emmanuel Quickly. And with RJ is 54% when he's on the court. And when he's off the court, it goes down to 48%. Kevin Knox, he's a 42% three-point shooter right now, who should be starting that small forward. But, you know, Tibbs loves the vets. And Mitchell Robinson, who's also a defensive monster, pick and roll partner. But what young players do you see on this roster moving forward you think the Knicks should keep in order to help with RJ Barrett's development? Because it's always about the players around you to help you make you a superstar.
Yeah, you know, I think obviously Mitchell is a you know, a super important part of that future. You know, I think he, like I said, RJ needs a pick and roll partner for sure. He's a great lob guy, a good screener, you know, and I think for RJ to be unlocked in terms of being a pick and roll threat, you certainly need a guy like that. You know, I think OB obviously is raw and has, you know, still a long way to go, but I think, you know, he'll also fit in nicely as kind of a stretch four, plays with a little rugged toughness at times, and, you know, can go to the post and do things like that himself. You know, Quickly, I've been impressed with, for sure. I'm not positive he's a starting point guard, but, you know, he at least can definitely give you like 15, 20 minutes at times off the bench. And he's got a phenomenal floater game. And, you know,
yes,
as he kind of learns more of the intricacies of kind of, you know, being an NBA point guard. I think he could really grow and be a solid part of the core. But I mean, you know, Knox has been the big question mark for a long time, and obviously you said he's shooting 42% from three on the season. Is that what he's at right now?
Yes, and he's top three in three-point percentage from the corners right now. So the kid is just human torch.
Well, that's
right,
good
now.
Yeah, I mean, that's always kind of been the question mark, you know, the inconsistency and stuff with him. But yeah, even, you know, Tibbs is obviously even gotten him stronger, gotten him to be a more capable defender. And yeah, if he is, you know, able to stay, you know, maybe not at that level, but at least at 36, 37 something percent, maybe from three, then yeah, he absolutely can be a part of that core alongside RJ. So I think they've definitely got some pieces, definitely need, you know, another star or two to really get over the hump. But I think you're definitely seeing Tibbs, you know, find which pieces are gonna fit with him going forward, and at least be good rotation pieces, you know, for hopefully kind of a playoff team for the next few years, ideally.
So real quick before I get into the last question, when it comes to Obi Toppin and it comes to RJ Barrett, do you see them as a long term fit together? And I'm gonna tie that in with, if you had one guy in the 2021 draft to stick between RJ Barrett and Obi Toppin, who would that guy be?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, yeah, there's no reason that they can't fit together. You know, obviously, I think the only thing that's made it harder on Obi a little bit is just that, you know, Julius Randle's obviously been your best player. He's playing like an all-star, and so – you know, it's a little harder for him to get on the floor with how well Julius is playing. But yeah, you know, I was Obi, I think, the same way. I don't think he's going to be a superstar, but I think he's, you know, a good value for what they get him at, 8, 9. I forget. Was he the 9th pick? 8th pick? 8th pick.
Eighth pick.
You know, so I think he'll be able to shoot the ball well. I think he'll be able to go down the post, score a little bit there. And I think he's just a really high IQ piece, and you know, you can always find a spot for guys like that. And you know, I think RJ, him, and Mitchell should be kind of all considered part of the starting lineup of the future. In terms of who to pair with in the draft, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I've watched so much NBA this season, so many games, that I haven't gotten to watch any college at all yet. So I'd be pulling a name from a hat if I told you anything about this year's draft, but. You know, obviously, I think, you know, the point guard spot and the three probably are their most glaring areas where maybe they could, you know, certainly use a star if there is one that comes available.
So I'll tell you this, when you start scouting this NBA draft, I'm definitely going to have you back on, because I definitely want your insight on these young guys that's coming in this draft, who's going to fit with this roster. So the last question. And it's funny how you said the man's name, Julius Randle, everybody's favorite Nick. Oh, God. Yeah, this year. I'm not going to lie to you. I hated this guy last season. And I wanted him traded for Marvin Bagley. And he bodied Marvin Bagley yesterday. So that was a good sight to see. But the reason why it was good that you brought up Julius Randle for my last question is because I want to know, how can I say this? So it won't. When you watch Julius Randle, you watch RJ Barrett on the court, they're both left-handed players. They both like to post up. They both like to operate in the same areas on the floor. But Thibodeau has found ways to get these two dudes to coexist, and they actually look functional. Like, they look like a good pairing at times. So, do you see a future coexisting match with RJ Barrett and Julius Randle as far as those two are concerned, or what you have watched from this season? Because I like what I've seen from Julius Randle. I think we could all agree that man was god awful last season, but this year he's been good. So do you think, well, me or anybody that's listening to this should be worried about Julius Randle's long-term fit with RJ Barrett?
Not really. You know, I think, you know, there's plenty of teams in the NBA that have a wing that can post a little bit, and then also a big that can post a little bit. I mean, you know, you look at, like, even the Spurs, who are playing well this season and, you know, have found a lot more success than they did last year. You know, for a few years now, they've been, you know, having a perfectly solid offense with DeRozan obviously playing a lot through the post, and LaMarcus Aldridge playing through the post, you know, and they're both obviously right-handed players. I think, you know, the whole two lefties thing doesn't really make a difference to me. There's plenty plenty of space on the court where Randle and Barrett can both kind of, you know, pick their spots, get their touches. You know, it's not going to be a one ball issue like maybe there is with the Nets now. You know, so yeah, I think, you know, RJ is good off the ball. I mean, he needs to obviously improve in that area, but he's gotten better as a weak side cutter. You know, Julius obviously has a good feel for the game. He's a good passer out of situations like that. And, you know, RJ obviously needs to keep growing from that mid-post area. And, you know, you kind of mentioned some of his shooting percentages. Obviously, you know, that long two seems to be the one that he's really struggling with now. So needs to keep growing in that area. But yeah, you know, I think, you know, Julius just looks like he, you know, I think he just was putting way too much pressure on himself last season. I think he was in his head, you know, and he totally looks like he's playing free again this season. And he's just, you know, having fun out there, not overthinking things. And yeah, you know, he's just reminding people that he is a you know, bully ball, obviously really, really strong player that also, you know, has some finesse. He can hit some threes. He's a really solid passer, point four type at times. And yeah, you know, I think, he's clearly been the focal point this year, and Tibbs has done a great job unlocking the most out of him. And you know, there's no reason why him and RJ can't coexist going forward in a starting lineup, in my book.
So, you know, I like your insight. I love what you're talking about with RJ Barrett. But the final thing, I gotta get a prediction. I gotta get a final win-loss prediction for the Knicks from you before you get out of here. We 8-9 right now. I predicted that the Knicks was gonna play 500 ball all season. So, what is your final record? What is your final record for the Knicks?
Yeah. I mean, I think honestly, preseason, I gotta go back and remind myself, I think I had them around the 33-34 mark. Yeah, I mean, I think I'd probably go, maybe I'll go 35 now. I'll go two under 500. But, yeah, wouldn't surprise me at all to see them pull out the 36 this year. And, you know, would be a big and important leap forward for them to be, you know, 500 or above, or even right around there is definitely progress over the last few years in New York for sure.
All right, Brian, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. Appreciate your insight. I appreciate your work. You know, you do good things, man, for people like me who just need information and needs to actually see and visualize how the offense is going. And, you know, you gotta always appreciate that. So I thank you for that. I thank you for hopping on the show. I want you to tell people, when is your next – what is your next work coming out? How could people find you, and how could people support you? I want you to talk.
Yeah, no, first of all, yeah, I really appreciate you having me, like I said, and we'll definitely do it again sometime. But yeah, pretty much anywhere, if you type in Scout with Brian, I'm Brian with a Y, B-R-Y-A-N, you can find my stuff on Twitter, obviously, mostly, but also the podcast and the Scout with Brian YouTube channel. And yeah, just kind of hop around the whole league a bunch, and yeah, I'm sure I'll circle back to the Knicks sometime soon. But yeah, all my video stuff is pretty much anywhere you type in Scout with Brian, you'll find me.
All right. Knick Nation, I appreciate y'all tuning in. My man, Brian, appreciate you tuning in, brother. I appreciate you joining my pod. State of the New York Knicks podcast, episode 129. We out of here. Peace.